John Maley, the Senior Sales Executive of Triple T Transport. John, thank you for joining us today on this beautiful morning of March 14th. How are you today?
Oh, we're great. We're great. How are you?
I'm doing great as well. I know it's in Columbus. You're near Columbus, Ohio. It's right around 7 a.m., so it's quite an early podcast for you. I'm out here in Poland. It's noon at the moment. It's only a five-hour time difference because we haven't changed our clocks yet. So I know it's bright and early. Are you a morning person?
I am. I'm a morning and a night person. How about you?
Okay. I would say the same. I prefer waking up in the morning when I get the opportunity to. But last night I was working till like midnight. So it's both works for me. So John, you reached out to me a couple months ago because you have your own podcast, Stay in Your Lane podcast. And you've also been at Triple T Transport for over 30 years. I believe it's the only like job that you've had in the corporate world or after college and high school that's on your LinkedIn profile. That's something that, you know, is kind of a rarity, especially in today's world where people, you know, go to work for someone for a year and then jump around. So you know the story of Triple T probably better than anyone. I'm curious if you could kind of just give us an introduction on who you are. Give us just the founding story of Triple T Transport. And what makes it definitely unique is that it's 100% employee owned. So if you could also talk a little bit about that.
Thank you, Paul. Good place to start's the beginning, right? So I was attending a high state university and I was working on the side and I couldn't decide what I wanted to do. As most people, when they're 18, 19 years old, they don't necessarily know what they want to do. So the gentleman owned this company, two gentlemen owned the company at the time, and started it in 1988. That was Tom Sanfilippo and Johnny Walker. Now, Tom was majority owner. When I came to the company, I was the fifth employee total. Our first year in sales, we did $3.5 million for the first year I was here. So we were a small private company, and brokerage business at that time was still relatively new, I think. You had, you know, a couple big players or one big player, which was probably C.H. Robinson. But it was a different time. We didn't have email yet. We didn't have, you know, everybody wasn't sitting behind a computer monitor. I mean, I think today's image of a broker a lot of the time is walking around in flip-flops and, you know, a Red Bull and a beard and, you know, everybody joking around or that's an inaccurate depiction here at Triple T, but it may be more accurate for a lot of people across the industry. So I started here and started to look for ways to balance the freight we had. Okay. That's what Mr. Sanfilippo hired me to do, to balance where we were going to with outbound shipments and to provide outbound shipments to where we had shipments coming back. Because we had invested in, I would say, owner operators, a great majority, smaller companies of less than 50 trucks down to owner operators. And that's when I started in the industry in August of 94. I came from a working class family, and you know, you learn as you go, right? I think, you know, this industry can be cruel and heartless, but at the same time, the people that you work with and develop relationships with change everything. You know, once you're in here, I'd say in the industry for a while, it's tough to leave. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I've been in the industry for almost 10 years. I can't believe how quickly time has passed.
Yeah. Yeah, that changes too, because it's like if for all of us, the ride goes faster. So, we'll move into the, I'd say the company we started to grow, but we haven't really ever been an advertising company where we promoted ourselves. Our clientele, we grew from word of mouth and doing good business, right? And I think that says a lot. From the ownership down, they were always, very responsible, took care of, everybody. It was a family environment then, and it still is as much as you can imagine today, especially with the employee ownership. But as we got through the 2000s and, the late 90s, you start getting a computer and you start using email and you start, before that was fax machine and your Word, right? You probably don't remember that because you're a little younger than I am.
Yeah, I don't remember that. I was born in 93, just for some context.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. So you're a pup. So imagine doing this job initially with no computer and just a phone and no technology tools, no efficiencies. Running mileage with a Rand McNally Household Movers book spread out on a table.
Wow.
So, there wasn't. I remember when your load boards came into business, and how to navigate that to get to understand how to do it in a positive way from a technology perspective, but. Even through those transitions, the relationships that you built with your carriers and your clients really stood out above all of that at that level. Because back then, I think everyone you were doing business with was still, we were all dinosaurs at that time, analog people, right? And it's funny, but I can remember, when I needed a truck in the area and there were none. There was no, you didn't have a load board. You would call your drivers, you would call your carriers and see if they knew anybody they could recommend you to. You would call truck stops and have the lady at the fuel island give a shout out, see if anybody in the area needed a shipment and, and where it was going. And it was a different time in our industry, but that's where I started. That's how it was when I started in the industry. So now we're, $350, $400 million company. But I think the value system's still the same. I think, the way we operate is the value-added role. So when Mr. Sanfilippo and Mr. Walker wanted to retire, this says a lot about the level of character that they operate with. They didn't sell us to other companies that wanted to purchase TripleT. Mr. Sanfilippo spent 3 years putting together our ESOP and financed it himself to make sure that what he started and what we all worked to build together would stay and do the right and take care of us.
Yeah.
So.
Just for context for the audience, to those that don't know what an ESOP is, that's like an employee share ownership program. What does that exactly stand for? I don't know if I said it correctly.
Employee stock ownership program. So
Okay.
as you work here, you don't pay into it like a 401k. As you work here, you gain shares. The better the company does, the more the shares are worth and the more shares you gain. So it's a phenomenal tool to take care of your employees in the long term. So, that's all done. We took care of, buying the company under the ESOP plan years ago and, paid it off. And at this stage of the game, it's an absolutely amazing thing for everyone who works here.
Definitely. I can imagine. That's awesome. In your view, What has been the most impactful technology advancement in transportation over the past three decades?
I'm going to say a good TMS system.
A good TMS.
Yeah.
So when you started, you had no TMS, so you had no computers.
No, we used the old Kardex system.
Kardex?
Kardex. K-A-R-D-E-X.
Mm-hmm.
Actually wrote up load cards. These were paper, hard stock paper cards, numbered, stamped with a number. We ordered them and had them made. And you would write your shipper information on it, your stop information on it, your consignees, your appointments. You would do all of these things. And that was the first technology advancement, because before that, it was your word. So, mm-hmm. Hey, Paul, I need you to give me a driver this afternoon to pick up here at this time and deliver tomorrow at this time. And I'm going to pay you X number of dollars. And you'd say, okay, John, that's not a problem. There was no paper transaction.
Yeah.
It was your word.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was a different game and a different industry, but it's still the same. Like the fundamentals, most people don't realize we would have made it through all of the struggles we've been through the past 20 some years, starting with the UPS strike in the early 2000s, to the Katrina days, till the economy crash in 2008, you know, the rebound, through CSA 2010, the driver ELD mandate, the hurricanes in Katrina, or not Katrina, but the hurricanes, the four of them in a row in 2017, yeah, on the back end. And then lastly, the disaster of COVID that we all had to work through, right? So we would have made it through all of those things, still doing business the old way. Relationships would have moved and made a lot of all of that stuff happen. Where I think that's why we see the volatility now that we didn't see as bad, you know, from an extreme perspective, from a rates and an extreme perspective that we saw through COVID. Because I truly believe that it would have all been moved. All the shipments would have been moved. But it would have been done based on relationships if it were 30 years previous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You agree with that?
Totally. Yeah. At the end of the day, like, you know, things have been moving for years before TMSs. And just like you mentioned, that's, you know, it was all just trust and a phone call. So what year did Triple T incorporate a TMS?
Oh, wow. That would have been, late 90s, early 2000s. We started a product because you have to realize, you know, I was the young guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So those guys have all passed on and retired and moved on with their lives now, right? They're no longer here. The first TMS we had was a very, very simple fundamental to get us through the transition of us being the dinosaurs to evolving. So you couldn't go from zero to high tech, right?
Mm-hmm.
You had to take a step, and then you have to take another step. So we started with a TMS called Visual Load Plus.
Okay.
Are you familiar with that one?
I'm not.
So that was our first TMS. Now we run a McLeod software.
Okay. Cool. So in terms of technology, we went over like kind of like the advancements that have taken place. It has changed the industry landscape. I'm kind of curious now in terms of selling to shippers, how has that changed in the 30 years? Because as we know, like you mentioned that back in the day, like back 30 years ago, there wasn't that much competition. There was C.H. Robinson, American Backhaulers, which C.H. Robinson ended up acquiring in 1999. But overall, like when you called the shipper, let's say 30 years ago, was it quite easy to sell them to work with you, or was it difficult? And how has that changed and progressed throughout time?
I would say it was different. I think the market determines a lot of the time how easy or how difficult that is. So you see today, I would say a big shipper might get 50 or 80 calls a day from carriers and brokers right now. At least that's what they're telling me.
Yeah.
Right. And then, you know, and they're very apprehensive right now. Like I just went to the Food Shippers of America conference, and I taped podcasts while I was there. I was thankful that they invited me and chose to have us come work with them. But even there, you could see, you know, it's a 10 to 1 ratio right now of brokers and carriers chasing shippers. I think that's always going to be that way in the markets when the market shifts to being, you know, shippers market. And then when it's carriers market, they say the phone stops ringing because everyone is busy looking to cover their loads they have, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's all hands on deck maybe at that time. So I don't think I would say the technology has changed it because many people don't have to answer their phone. Right. When I started calling people on the phone initially, there wasn't caller ID in their office. You know, we weren't at the rotary phone yet. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But there wasn't caller ID. Now they can see who's calling way before, you know, before you even realize that their phone's ringing. They know who's calling.
Yeah.
When they need you, they need you. When they don't, they know. Right. Technology has enabled a lot of people. A lot of people choose to only communicate by email or stop communicating. So I think that you have to do something. You have to go at it differently, whether it's then or whether it's now. I think you have to be successful by being different.
Okay. So. You know? Could you share with us some of the strategies or approaches that have helped Triple T and yourself build and maintain long-term relationships? It's not a secret.
Well, no, I think everyone has their own styles, how I'll answer that. Answer
sure.
That and I think what works for me may not work for you, or may not work for Bob or Mary or Mike or Teresa. I think the real thing is you have to know who you are and understand, you know, who you're talking to. And it comes down to people. I'll say that. It's not that I don't want to give up any secret sauce or anything. It's what works for me doesn't work for everyone else. I'm different, right? So, and I've always been different. I've never been a follower. Always had my own drummer. You know, being me is not easy. I'll tell you that, Paul. You either love me or you know, it's one way or the other. The people that I have, I'd say that I have relationships with in the industry, they know that my word's still as good as it was when I started in 94 in the industry. If I tell a shipper I'm going to do something, if I tell a carrier I'm going to do something, I do it. And sometimes it hurts. And sometimes I lose money. And that's okay. That, you know, that's, I would say that's the cost of doing good business. If that answers some of that question.
Yeah.
What else?
A lot of respect for that. So to I guess, continue on the shipper topic, what do you think overall, like, do shippers take into consideration right now when they choose a logistics partner? Like, what are they looking for? Obviously, there's this trust in the relationship, but, like, is there anything else that really is something that shippers look for?
Well, I think that's different depending on who the shipper is and what their motives are. You know, our industry, I heard a number and I don't know where it came from, but maybe you could validate this for me. 23% or 22%, is it that I heard, of all freight is handled by a broker or third party at this stage of the game?
I think it's right around there.
Okay. So, you know, it takes two, like any relationship. It takes two. And, you know, think about dating for an example. I'm going to use that analogy, right? Because everyone can relate to it. You have to go on, you have to go on some dates to figure out what type of woman you'd be looking for, or if you're a woman, what type of man you like, or, it's the same thing from a shipper perspective. And it's not because that analogy works. It's a bad analogy, but it's one everyone can relate to. So you have to find people that you're in alignment with. Right?
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, I think everyone in our industry, not everyone, many, are, you know, their motive, we'll go back to motive. The motive is getting what they want. If I call you and I'm working from an area where I'm trying to get what I want, how long do you think that's going to last?
Nope.
No. So, I mean, I think a lot of this is somewhat common sense.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You don't have to do exactly what you say you're going to do. And I think that's what Triple T is about. I think that's our MO. If you look at brokers in general, what would you say the Google reviews ratings are on most brokers?
Usually like 2 stars. And that's usually bumped up by some employees.
So, you know, we see it in that 1 to 2 range a lot, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Fortunately for us, we're in the 4 to 4.5 star range.
That's awesome. And
knowing that you, realistically, you can't make everyone happy. You play volleyball, you play basketball. The coach can't make everyone happy on the team, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in a team scenario, if everybody feels like they got 70, 75%, it's really special. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
Have you played in some of those environments over the years where, you know, you felt like everybody got what they, but you really got 75%, but it was enough because everything else was so good about the arrangement?
I'm trying to think. I don't know. It's tough for me to say if I had that before. I feel like that's quite difficult to achieve, but that's definitely what companies should strive for.
Right. From a coaching perspective, that was always my goal. When I coached little leagues, it was to give every kid to feel like they got that 75, knowing 100 is not attainable. For, you know, because it's a team. Mm-hmm. The only time 100 is an individual sport. So when you take that same approach to everything, you know, whether it's your business, whether it's how you treat people, whether, you know, I think that says a lot and that speaks louder than any words.
Mm-hmm. I agree. How have you evolved throughout these 3 decades, Sean? Like,
There's been bumps.
I'm curious. You were young. You were what, 21, 22 when you started at Triple T in 94? How old were you then?
I was, 31. I was 19.
You were 19 when you started at Triple T, 19 years old. Okay. So you're a young kid, you know, 19 is a special age. I remember when I was 19, I did a lot of dumb things, but yeah. And now you're here 30 years later. Like, what would you say, like, the characteristics of, like, the evolution were? Like, what did you pick up? Like, are there, like, maybe, like, a few things that you could mention? Like, oh, I learned that had to do this, or I couldn't do that. Were there, like, I know you probably learned a lot, but maybe some things that really stick out through those 3 decades?
Oh, absolutely. I'm going to tell you and hopefully everybody who listens to this understands this. At 19, you have a totally different vision and perspective of yourself and everyone else around you in the world than what you have, what I have now. I've always been a type A personality, right? I'm not shy. I'm not bashful. I'm not PC in a lot of respects. But in the same, I would say my core values, my parents raised me with, have kept me from getting in too much trouble. And I'm thankful for that. But there have been bumps, in all honesty. The things that stick out to answer the question aren't technology based. There are the people. The people that helped me grow and learn, that understood that, you know, I was 300 miles an hour forward. There were no brakes. We were going to figure it out. We're going to get it done. There are always, I would give them credit as mentors from a mentor perspective. The people that said, hey, you know, take a minute. Let's look at this a little different. And that tribal wisdom that I was fortunate enough to receive from clients, people that worked at Shippers that I did business with, Tom Sanfilippo, people that I met in the industry, people I met outside the industry, even through the journey, is where I would say the rewards were for me. Because had it not been for those special people, you know, I may not have learned and grew and developed. And believe me, I'm half German and half Irish. I have enough stubborn in me too. Right. So hopefully that tells you why I think that the people are always the difference. Someone makes a decision in every scenario, when you're doing business, when you're working with a company, or you're making a decision yourself. I've been fortunate that the leadership that we have here at Triple T has never held me back. I've held myself back at times more than the leadership has held me back. So one of my clients as a shipper years ago came in and saw the office and, you know, wanted to see, because, you know, hear the phones in the background. And he said, I want to come visit. It wasn't far away. And he wasn't in the office 2 minutes. And he said, this is the tightest run, loosest ship I've ever seen. And to this day, I'll never forget it, because that was a hugely impactful. And he was wise. I mean, this gentleman was bright and wise and intelligent. And he picked up right away how we were managed from Mr. Sanfilippo.
And you like that approach. That's an approach that you appreciated.
It worked for me. Right. So, yeah. I'm not somebody that, you know, ever needed someone to make sure they were working. Right. I come to work and, you know, we're here to work. Right. Why do 5 things when you can do 25 in a day? That was always the approach. And it is today. It's different now. It's more intelligent. I don't make the mistakes I used to make, in a lot of respects. So, but I would say that the people that helped me grow in this industry over the years, that cared, that didn't have to, but chose to, those are the ones that I still talk to even when they're retired, because one of them I was with last week, Joe Lombardo from Nestle.
Okay. Wow.
He's a Chicago guy, but originally, you know, New Jersey, born and raised in New Jersey. And, You know, we've had knockdown dragout arguments 25 years ago, and we've still been great friends.
Oh. That's remarkable. Do you, John, still cold call shippers, or are you like already past that?
No, I still cold call shippers.
Okay. What do you like? I know like each shipper's a little bit different depending on who picks up, but like what's like your go-to, like, I don't know, like line? What do you say? Can you take us through that a little bit?
Oh, wow. now you're getting towards some of my game. I think you have to listen. I've learned that I don't go after necessarily what I want. I've learned to be more patient. I've learned to understand that timing is more of value, not when I get what I want, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is and was the most vital thing for me to come to grips with. Remember, I was, you know, I've always been type A, right? It's going to happen, right? And when you have that approach, sometimes you get, you know, you take the bumps too.
Yeah.
Hopefully that gives you some insight.
Yeah. Looking ahead, what are like some emerging trends that you believe will impact the logistics industry? What are you currently looking out for? I know that we when I was in your podcast, we talked a lot about the fraud and the scammers. So maybe you could talk a little bit about that, but I'm kind of curious, like, where do you think there are opportunities in this industry?
Well, technology is moving much faster than security that we talked about with the fraud.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to, in turn, I think it's going to cause everyone to back up a little bit and start to go back to the motive. What was our motive, right? If we want to keep this and we want to keep moving in this direction, we need to be more intelligent about it, right? We saw the banking industry when they, you know, they made big strides in technology. Then they started getting absolutely blasted with fraud, you know, theft and security became an issue. The industry then caught up, right? Slow down in some respects and catch up on the security side. So I think our industry is kind of transitioning, hopefully, towards that. We're probably on the front side because the numbers on fraud, you know, and identity theft and cybersecurity, and however you want to call it, cargo theft, right? The end result's cargo theft.
Mm-hmm.
But that is, you know, going at that is a different, it's a different way to solve it because there isn't somebody you can go throw in jail and put the cuffs on and take out of the picture, right? That's not going to solve it. So now we have to say, hey, wait a minute. What processes are we putting in place with our technology so that we don't cause this?
Yeah.
So anytime you have, you know, manufacturers, companies, shippers, where they're silos and everyone's not working together, I think that's the next step. Right? 5 years ago, most people couldn't define supply chain. And then thanks to COVID, it was every night on the news, the first thing everyone wants to talk about. Empty grocery store shelves and supply chain.
Yeah.
And drivers were heroes. And now, truck drivers are no longer heroes. Again, we're back to it. And it somewhat astonishes me that all of the people in there, not all, but many in the industry are defining insanity. doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different outcome. So whether you're a shipper, whether you're a carrier, whether you're a broker, where does it stop? The self-inflicted wounds. Right? You wouldn't operate your retirement plan maybe the way your transportation objectives are. Right? Would you be happy if your retirement plan was plummeting and then up and then plummeting? I mean, you'd say, hey, I'm going to take the 5%, the 7%. And that's going to win every time. But yet we do that because I think it's somewhat, you know, it's the company's revenue, right? It's someone else's checkbook. It's someone else's retirement plan. So I think that it starts with respect. I think that, you know, there are going to be more bumps. And I think it's bigger than just numbers and understanding, you know, total laid in delivered costs, not necessarily chasing a fictitious market, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or what someone else says the market is today.
Yeah. Definitely respect, patience, less greediness. And we see a lot of that in the logistics industry, freight world.
Yeah.
And that's how, I guess that's Triple T's success, right? It's just kind of compounding year over year with the values they've incorporated for over 30 years, which is a rarity in this industry because you see a lot of new companies starting up, growing rapidly, just caring about the revenue numbers, selling, and then kind of, you know, not caring about the rest.
We're seeing, you know, it's unfortunate. We're seeing a lot of people go out of business. So a couple of weeks ago, FMCSA numbers dropped 700 MCs in 1 week. That has an impact. That, you know, that snowballs, it runs downhill. So seeing carriers starting to call with and ask us, we're getting phone calls from carriers that are saying, these brokers aren't paying their bill. How do I collect? Right? We didn't hear that through COVID.
Yeah.
Probably haven't heard that since 2019. And I think that unfortunately, I think the industry is going to purge, you know, the people that maybe jumped in and aren't stable.
Mm-hmm.
The guys that live in the spot market.
Yep. So just to finish up here, John, we're running up on time. I'm curious, you've been in the industry, like we said, for a little bit over 3 decades. So you've seen it all. Let's say there's a young person in the industry. Maybe they've been in the industry, they just started, or they've been in the industry for a couple of years. What kind of tips would you give them, you know, like to kind of, I guess, be able to succeed in this industry?
Well, I think if you're really looking for long-term success, you know, I think there are a lot of good people in all of the industry, okay? And if we look at 8 out of 10 people will help you if they could, right? If you asked them for help. And I think that's not just in this industry. I think that's just people in general, right? So if you grab 10 random people and you ask somebody, 8 of them to help you, if they could, they would, right? If it wasn't crazy, right? So if that's society, there are a lot of good people working for companies. But maybe the company's motives aren't as good as the people.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm talking to somebody that's young, I want to understand what the motives of the people that I'm working for, because at the end of the day, they're going to enable or create a lot of, you know, your opportunity for success and stability. Not looking at maybe what's right in front of you at that moment.
I like that.
Play the long game.
Play the long game. Yep. And like compounding, do the work.
Yeah, because I think there are a lot of good people, but you know, they get sometimes it's unfortunate they get swallowed up because the support isn't there behind them,
mm-hmm.
or they don't know what real support is, right? And you know, living in the now, I think, is what we have too much of.
Definitely. Is Triple T currently hiring? Just in case anyone's interested in joining Triple T.
We are. Yeah, we have it paid off. We don't do that. We run inherently lean and take care of everybody and support our people, which says a lot about the management, right? I think, you know, most companies in our industry or in my industry right now, a lot of them have had multiple waves of layoffs, and you know, you gotta be better than that, right, for your people.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I think, the advantage of how we operate.
I love to hear that. John, thank you so much for joining us today on the podcast. If anyone would like to reach out to you or learn more about you or listen to your podcast, where could they go?
They can go to Apple, YouTube, Spotify, LinkedIn, I think, is our biggest network. I would say the difference, our motives on our podcast aren't commercialization, aren't monetization. Our podcast is trying to bring value to everyone in the industry. So if you have thoughts or any subject matter that anyone would like to, you know, to throw out there, we'll listen. But our motives are genuine, I would say, with the podcast.
Yep, I agree. Well, John, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on the podcast. And yeah, if anyone wants to connect with John Maley, he's on LinkedIn. Maybe he'll accept your invitation. You could, you know, shoot your shot.
Drop your name and it'd help.
There we go. Drop your name if you connect with John on LinkedIn. But yeah, thanks for joining us, John. Appreciate
it. Thanks for having me. Good talking to you,
Paul. Likewise, John. Thanks for tuning in to the Daily Freight Caviar podcast. If you enjoyed the podcast, or if you didn't, leave a review. Let me know what you think. I appreciate any feedback. If you'd like to have more Freight Caviar content, go to freightcaviar.com and subscribe to my email newsletter.